Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Tech Talk on Money FM. I'm Michelle Martin, together with Jason Dacey. Google has stopped providing software and hardware services to Chinese telecom giant Huawei in a move to comply with an order by the U.S. government. The government had long accused Huawei of spying on other countries for the Chinese government, despite no concrete evidence to prove that claim. The announcement means that future versions of Huawei's smartphones running on the Android system will lose its access to Google's proprietary services, such as the Google Play Store, Gmail, even its YouTube apps. It's a fresh blow for Huawei today because Japan's Panasonic has also said the company will put its business with Huawei on hold, following similar moves by mobile carriers in Japan and in Britain. So what will this ban mean for China and for the bigger international community? We speak to Mieszek Piskorski. He's Professor of Strategy and Innovation at IMD Business School in Singapore and Switzerland. Professor Mieszek, thank you so much for joining us. What does Google's move to cut ties with Huawei mean for the burgeoning Chinese mobile industry, especially since so many Chinese mobile manufacturers don't have access to the Google Play Store and Huawei?
I think it actually is a very, very big blow to the industry. In the long term, I think they'll recover. I think they will actually create their own ecosystems. But in the short term, it really does create a substantial problem. And the problem really exists on multiple levels for Huawei. It exists, as you already mentioned, at the level of operating system, because Google actually provides operating system for the Huawei phones to operate on, and now they're not going to be able to use that. And so as a consequence, they would be forced into using an open source version of Android, which is not the Google version. And the open source is not as good as the Google one. So for a lot of its customers, both in China, but also in markets where Huawei really wants to compete very heavily, such as Southeast Asia, but also in Europe, that means that the operating system will not be as good as what it would be if Google continued the relationship with them. And the second thing, of course, is the App Store, and there's going to be restrictions to the App Store, and they're going to have to figure out how to deliver the applications. And then the third thing is the actual applications. Some of the most popular applications on Android phones and also on iPhones are provided by Google. I mean, one application that we all use that comes from Google is YouTube. I mean, imagine if your phone all of a sudden didn't have YouTube. And of course, YouTube is banned in China, so that's not a problem for the Chinese customer, but for the European or the American or the Southeast Asian customer, that would be a big problem. And so you're already seeing this problem in practice. You're seeing companies reacting, but you're also seeing customers reacting. So a lot of customers are, for example, beginning to want to trade in their phones very quickly. Right now, we're seeing this even in Singapore. I heard we're talking to a bunch of stores here. People said, goodness, so many people are returning their Huawei phones just in anticipation that these Google services will not be available to them. So I think this is a substantial problem.
Yeah, I mean, there are many different elements to it, Professor Mieszek. You know, when you look at the short term, Huawei's very ambitious company, what's it's going to do to their progress in the near future, do you think, this ban?
Well, I think they're going to have to figure out quick solutions very quickly. So there is already evidence that Huawei had been preparing for this ban long before it was announced. And so they had been secretly stacking a lot of raw materials. Because remember, the ban, we actually just have to think about the ban really broadly. The ban also might affect them even on the hardware, right? Because the ban is not only, it's not that Google invented something to ban them, right? It's the American government that basically placed Huawei on their blacklist, which means even their supplies of semiconductors and other materials into production of phones is affected, right? In addition to that, Huawei has been expecting that this would happen, and they've been developing their own operating system. And if you talk to people who are familiar with Huawei, they will tell you that they might want to roll out their own version of the operating system for their phones as early as the end of the year, which admittedly is still a long time. It will take them a long time to recover from this, but they will probably spend a lot of their energy now on delivering that. The other important problem to solve is the App Store, because they will be banned from App Store. And again, there is some evidence that these guys are talking to a company called Aptoide. And
yes.
Aptoide is this sort of very interesting type of App Store quite used by quite a lot of people, about 200 million people. And, you know, Aptoide has a bit of a bad reputation in the sense that it's not always... Some people say you can buy apps there for free or get apps there for free that don't normally cost money. Mm. But again, I think they will just basically need to figure out ways of using alternative means to deliver the same service. That means that they're going to have to work really, really hard because, as you've already alluded at the beginning of our conversation, there basically is a lot of elements that need to fall in place in order for you to deliver a phone, right? There has to be operating system, app store, apps, and everything else. In terms of hardware to actually make the phone efficient. So I have to say, big, big, big job ahead of them.
Okay, so as you've said, I want to pick up on that point. Huawei may replace the Google Store with Aptoide and App Gallery as well, it's been reported. The Chinese have shown their capabilities creating their own inventions. Baidu, created as equivalent of search engine Google. Weibo, as the replacement for Twitter. Youku, as equivalent to YouTube. Runrun, acting as Facebook. So if Huawei pulls through this ban and does indeed become self-sufficient with its own ecosystem, what do you think this will mean for the telecom giant in terms of developing its own Android version and Play Store? Do you think that's likely to happen?
I'll tell you what, I mean, we have seen this, as you aptly pointed out, in so many other parts of the technological ecosystem where China, for one reason or another, has started developing its own ecosystem. And initially, they either copied Western Internet or relied on the Western Internet. But if we look at the Chinese of the structure of the Chinese Internet right now, we do see that they've become much, much better than what the Western Internet has been, or the American-based Western Internet. So to my mind, actually, what this ban is doing is accelerating the sort of the split and potential improvements in Android that we haven't seen out of the West. I think it's very, very possible.
We're speaking to Professor Mieczek Piskorski, Professor of Strategy and Innovation at IMD Business School in Singapore and Switzerland, with a big blow for Huawei. We talk about, the embattled, I guess you'd say, Huawei founder Ren Zhengfei. He says the U.S. government had underestimated its capabilities, and he's confident that 5G technology will not be affected. What's your take on this?
I think this particular sort of Google meets Huawei battle is basically a part of a bigger war that we're seeing between the two countries, right? Because I think, the U.S. has always been leading the technological prowess and technological innovation, and there is no doubt in my head that China is catching up really quickly. And 5G is a big element of this, right? And 5G works both at the level of the headsets and the handsets, and also at the level of the infrastructure, the underlying infrastructure, the machines that actually help us enable the networks. And so what we're seeing is that Huawei has put a very, very big technological investment into this new technology, and I think they're being stopped, right? Because there's of course the concerns about being surveilled by the Chinese state, but quite honestly, I think what's also happening is trying to equalize the playing field between China and the US, and I think in many ways this is being used partly to slow down the expansion of Chinese technology elsewhere.
Do you see a domino effect happening? Mr. Run has pointed out that the telecom giant is in conflict with the U.S. government and not American companies. To what extent do you see more American companies, though, complying with the government's orders to block out Huawei?
Oh, I think this is going to be very, very broad, because not only are the Americans going to do this, as you mentioned already, companies like Panasonic are stepping in, and I think the American government is also stepping in quite extensively and lobbying other governments to do this. So there's some evidence, for example, that the Korean government is being lobbied by the American government to also introduce this ban, right? So I think the American government is very aware that if it's going to win the war against the technologies from China, it cannot only apply to the U.S. It has to be a global phenomenon, because otherwise it will not be as effective as it would be if the entire world complied.
Well, according to insiders, the Trump administration's call to blacklist Huawei came following the unsuccessful trade talks with China earlier this month. So how would the unsuccessful trade talks continue to have roll-on effects for China across the board?
Well, this is partly what I think you will see more and more happening across numerous domains, right? And the technological domain is one that China has invested a tremendous resources into. So I think for the Trump administration, this is a big bargaining chip. I, for example, very much expect that in about a year and a half, we'll see a very, very big ban over use of artificial intelligence, for example. So right now, we are witnessing a big advancement in artificial intelligence in China, and there's a lot of Chinese scientists who were educated or used to work in the U.S. and are now coming back to China, both to universities and also private companies, to work on artificial intelligence. And of course, there's an artificial intelligence developed in Europe and in the U.S. But I think, you know, for those of us who are sort of studying this phenomenon, we're seeing massive improvements in artificial intelligence in China. And, you know, if you compare artificial intelligence to 5G networks, right, I mean, you can't really compare the impact of those. And I can guarantee you that the American government will also impose restrictions on AI, on robotics, on IoT. All these technologies that are powering right now the major efficiency gains, they will all be subject to the same restrictions in the future. So I think this is, you know, I think we will have this conversation many times in the next couple of years. It will just replace words, will just replace technology.
And how successful do you think this strategy is to keep China back in the tech race?
So, you know, there is, I think that does actually work, right? I mean, so this is not the first time we're seeing the American government do this, right? So ZTE is the first time where we really saw this sort of spat, right? And then we actually are seeing that ZTE has been slowed down, and there have been some real repercussions around ZTE, right? So it has slowed them down in the short term. But I think, as we've already implied, you know, does it slow down the progress of, you know, Chinese technologies? It really doesn't, right? At the end of the day, they're sort of developing them as is. It does slow the growth of individual companies, but for a country as a whole, I think it does create smaller impact than originally hoped by the U.S.
Well, you put things into perspective for us very well. We'd like to thank Professor Mieczysław Pikorski, the Professor of Strategy and Innovation at IMD Business School in Singapore and Switzerland. The road ahead for Huawei as U.S. and China continue to face off in a not very friendly fashion over trade.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.